It on air music presents Long Player.
Wellington DJ and producer Alphabet Head, aka David Morrison, is one third of the mind melting trio All Seeing Hand. But when he's not busy making music for the trio, he is cooking up incredible instrumental cuts in his bedroom studio. Some of his recent efforts can be heard on his latest album, a 30 track odyssey called Leisure World. Being a longtime fan of Alphabet Head, I was hyped to get on the Skype and pick his brains about the new release and how it all came together. So put on the jug, make yourself a nice cup of tea and have a listen.
Hello, this is Alphabet Head and we're about to delve into a few tracks off Leisure World.
Incredible tracks. I've been soaking it all in, and there's a lot of twists and turns in there too. It's pretty hard for me to whittle down just a couple to talk about. But I thought we should start with the title track, Leisure World, because that's really the beginning of the whole sort of story, if you will. So what is Leisure World, or where is Leisure World in this kind of menagerie of stuff?
Well, with Leisure World, the whole release being 30 tracks, I just wanted to go in that absolute other direction of the last album. I felt my last album was really like heavy and serious. All the tunes were upwards of 7 minutes and they were long sort of moody numbers that slowly developed. And I really enjoyed doing that. This is this one called Topography. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down a list of things I wanted to do, like a manifesto with this album. And it was like, embrace fun, embrace brevity, be childlike in the way I put music together. And so I wrote that down and like I pinned it on my wall. And so I wanted all, like, of course, I wasn't too rigid in sticking to that, but I'm really bad at like adding 100 different instruments, the banjos and the Tibetan bells and everything. And for this one, I was like, embrace brevity and minimalism, mm-hmm. and try and be concise. Oh, you can hear me now. I'm not even very good at being concise in the spoken word. So I knew I wanted to make lots of short things. And then something really fortuitous happened. I found a sample, which is in the song Leisure World, which is about an imaginary retirement home called Leisure World. And this happened really far on in the process of making the album. And I was still searching for that through line that would sort of connect all the tracks together, mm-hmm. and link it. And so once I found this person talking about Leisure World, relax. Just because you retire, it doesn't mean you have to have a boring life. We've got bridge, tournament bridge and ballroom dancing. And so I was like, that is it. It will be like this amazing amusement park, and each track will be a different thing in the park. And so Leisure World is like the opening, welcoming you to the park, introducing you to Leisure World. Because I don't have like many vocals, when I have to say all this, but basically the introduction is just saying Leisure World, like dropping the sample in about 7 or 8 times, and then it talks about Victoria Bond's week at Leisure World. So that's why it happens so early on. It's like, here we are, we're at this lovely place, and we've got a whole lot of interesting activities for you.
Leisure World. ahead of her. She'll spend two evenings rehearsing with a local theater group. Thursday afternoon, she has a golf date. Friday, it's tournament bridge. And Saturday night, there's a dance at Leisure World. Sunday, Victoria will celebrate her 68th birthday at Leisure World.
Actually wondering where that sample had come from, because I know there is a whole bunch of retirement villages called Leisure World or Leisure World in the States.
Okay.
So I didn't know if it was an advertisement for an actual place, but you're saying it's a fictitious thing.
It's pretty funny because after I released it, a friend was like, oh my gosh, is this album an ode to the beautiful amusement park in Rotorua? Apparently there was a Leisure World there. And apparently there was. I've now listened to the ad in Seals Beach, California. Okay, so I found the sample. I forget now. It wasn't taken from an ad. It was on like a comedy album. I think it might have been a parody. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if it was for real. And of course, I've sort of rearranged the words a little bit.
For sure.
So I know it does exist. There's been so many Leisure Worlds around, even in Rotorua. I wish I'd known about the actual one, because then I could have like harvested it for even more samples, and it would have been an even stronger concept because I would have had so much more source material.
That does bring me to my next question and something I've been curious about, because you've been DJing and producing for a really long time now, and I imagine the way you source material has changed. Do you still dig around for physical samples of vinyl or tape, or do you do a lot of digital sourcing?
Oh gosh, that's such a great question, because I do sample off vinyl. I've still got such a giant collection. There was this code that DJ Shadow laid down, like, oh, you got to sample off vinyl. But yeah, I totally also do digital digging. There's incredible blogs. Some of my favorite material, it's not on this album, but it's been on other ones. Have you ever heard like the B-movie radio trailers that are out there, like This Summer, The Grizzly Bear? That style, you still hear that big deep voice B-movie trailers to this day, but I love that. And I found a blog that was dedicated to those old radio ads, and so that was sampled. So yeah, I used to be a purist and say I have to sample off vinyl, and not just any vinyl, it has to be the original pressing. No re-releases allowed, no repress. But now it's like totally fair game. And gosh, I can't think of an example, but I've probably been guilty of the most cardinal sin, which is sampling off YouTube, but I've totally done it.
That's amazing. I also noticed that you've sampled off old games, and one of those is Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, amazing segue, Danielle, because do you know how I said I sampled all these ads?
Mm-hmm.
That song, the very end of it is an ad for, remember over here we called it the Sega Mega Drive, but in America it was called the Genesis. It was a Genesis ad for Ghouls and Ghosts.
Yeah, I that song gave me a very strong sense of nostalgia, to the point where I think I was maybe not playing it because I might have been a little bit small, but probably went over to like a neighbor's house and someone's big brother was playing it or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that is so nice. That's exactly what I wanted to tap into. So the crazy thing about that song, apart from the vocal sample at the end, that song isn't sampled. I sort of researched this SD chip there, and I tried to recreate it inside the computer. So that's all original and played. And I had to work really hard to make the sounds like less lush, you know, like the digital sounds of today are so bright and mm-hmm. so colorful. And it was like, let's downgrade it. Let's reduce the bit quality. But yeah, so Ghouls and Ghosts, it's actually inspired by just the games from that era. The one I played the most of was Alex the Kid in Miracle World. But yeah, I too watch like Big Brothers playing Ghouls and Ghosts.
Spooky sort of underground basement sounds, and you've paired it with that kind of big fuzzy bass line that is quite a hallmark of this album too. How are you achieving that sound?
So with like the All-Seeing Hand and a couple of the songs, I think Ghouls and Ghosts included, I've got an old monophonic synthesizer, but it's not a proper synthesizer. It's an old DJ mixer that I set to feedback. So I take the headphone out and I loop it back round to the line in, and then I crank it up and it causes a loop, and it produces just fortuitously. There's this only one mix that I found that does it. It makes this awfully deep sawtooth bass, like a and that's pretty much is what birthed the All-Seeing Hand bass sound, this old device. And I'm freaking out because it's 20 years old and one day it's going to die on me. I'm going to have to reinvent myself. So a lot of the songs were there, and then a bunch of them are just synthesis inside the computer. I use this thing called Silent, which allows you to stack oscillators. So in most cases I just make it produce a sine tone and lower it down a couple of octaves, and that produces the warm sub.
So for those who might be listening and don't know, an oscillator is like a pitch generator?
Yeah, so
it's
sound is
a signal?
Vibration to near molecule. So what it's my voice box creating them right now. But you can force the computer to create them. You can make it create a waveform, which it sends to the speaker, vibrates the speaker, and then sets up a wave in the actual ear. So it's like synthesizing a song out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And you can draw a different shape. So everything in life is sort of beautiful and sine tone, like a branch blowing in the wind. It reaches one side and it doesn't snap back. It sort of curves back. And
these
then the
are
friction
your very
of the
round, rolling waveforms.
Oh, God, that makes way. That's how I should have said it. So, yeah, round rolling waveforms. But since I can work in the digital, I can purposely do, sawtooth and square wave and pulse wave. And that one about Ghouls and Ghosts, that's all built off, like, pulse waves, like, that wouldn't really occur in the natural world.
Fascinating. The next track I wanted to ask you about was Eyes of Nothing. When I first heard this, and I hope you take it as a compliment, I got huge throwback to an album by a guy called RJD2. He released it in 2002. It was called Dead Ringer. Do you know the album I'm talking about?
Oh, my. You're so on to it, Danielle. So that was me trying to do my version of the song The Horror from that album.
The opening track, right?
Exactly. Gosh, that you got me. You got me pegged. So I was a teenager when DJ Shadow's Introducing came on. Mm-hmm. And then later there was RJD2. So my inception with like hip hop music was the beats and the samples and the layering of drum beats. And I was obsessed with that album. And that one song, The Horror, is incredible. And it's one of those beats, you hear it and you feel like a badass. You know how music can like pump you up?
Yes.
And like, I'm ready to take on the world. And so with that song, I wasn't referencing horror. I was just referencing the essence of that song that I held on to. And the thing I wanted, like when the horns came in, I just want it to be uplifting. Like, I'm ready to take on the day. I've heard friends like talk about, oh, before I go out on the town, I like to listen to this song and it gets me. And I totally feel music in that way. Mm-hmm. Like certain songs, I could be having a bad day, I put it on and next thing you know, I'm doing guitars and punching. And I wanted to try and do that, and like big brass sections, like one of the most effective ways I found. But mm-hmm. Oh, you nailed it. So totally RJD2 Dead Ringer.
Look past the living streets of Boston, find the desert's mystic dawn. The cave where I is another, the glacier where the living die, and there is the beauty they could never find. Look into the grave, look into the truth that is still.
songs we've talked about are all ones that you released as singles over the sort of months or weeks leading into releasing the album, but I did undertake the hard task of picking out a few from the 30 that I wanted to ask you about as well, and one of those was Ransom. I really like that, and you've used those like trap style hi-hats, and then it kind of goes like sicko mode and changes up a little bit. Can you
oh my gosh, yeah. So this, you know how you hear people talk about, like, in the context of putting a project together, cohesion?
Mm-hmm.
My biggest worry with this release is I don't just love the 90s hip hop. I love, gosh, Sicko Mode, one of the best songs of last year. Like, the thing I've been listening to mostly this year is, have you heard Denzel Curry?
Yes.
The album Zoo?
Yes.
I love that sound. Sometimes it's just pure synthesis from inside the computer. It's so clean. And so as I, like, assessed all these, like, 30 beats I had, I was like, oh my gosh, it's got super clean sounds like Ransom, and then it's got all sample based stuff like oh, okay, like You Would Know and Sell, mm-hmm. Opal Sell, their sample based. Mm-hmm. And I was like, gosh, I'm worried someone's gonna say this project lacks cohesion. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, should I group together songs of the same sound palette? Should I group together like all the sample based ones, all the ones about eight videos, all the ones inspired by modern trap? And then you can probably see I decided to not do that. I like thought about Leisure World and the amusement park, and if you went to Disneyland, you wouldn't want the roller coaster next to another roller coaster. You'd go the roller coaster, then you go the haunted house, and then you loop around, then you'd get some chips. And then by the time you've reached another roller coaster, I mean another trap beat, you're ready for another one. And so that's the way I justify it being such a hodgepodge of styles. And I had to do a lot of like thinking in my, to reconcile. But you've totally pegged it. So Ransom, I wanted the heavy, so it was 808 beats put through distortion, and I purposely didn't use any samples. The lead that does like the G funk kind of whistle, that was made inside the computer, and I didn't do what I usually do. Sometimes if I want something to sound old and weathered, I'll add vinyl crackle to make it sound deteriorated and give it mm-hmm. that lo-fi tinge. I was like, no, I'm going to embrace it. It's going to just be clean, and it might rub up wrongly about with the other tracks. So there's another one, Digital Peanut, on there, and that's all really hyper clean, pristine sounds that, you know how you hear the words organic to describe music? Mm-hmm. It's not organic. It's the digital world. It's music for androids, that kind of thing.
Ransom.
the next track I picked out is Holy Tune Decay, which is number 20, and I just love the vibrancy of this track as well. And we hear those threads of Middle Eastern or Indian music, I'm not sure, and you kind of play with those a lot in different songs throughout the record as well. But in Holy Tune Decay, they're sort of paired with that sci-fi thing that is also sort of threaded through there.
Yeah, that's awesome. We just talked about Ransom. So Holy Tune Decay is at the total other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
The main loop in that is totally off vinyl, and I have two copies of the same record. And the main groove is me looping on vinyl. So one
like
end of the spectrum, Ransom, is all inside the computer, and then Holy Tune Decay is like my old style, like turntablism, chopping up breaks. And so... So that was, gosh, the name escapes me. That was a Turkish funk record I had, and I like found half a bar and I did the whole back-to-back looping with it. And then I was like, I can't just release that. That might be copyright infringement. And then so I added the sci-fi sounds over the top, and that's actually LL Cool J.
Oh, cool.
Like, hit the rhythm and the tune decay, and then I put it through echoes. So it bounces away and like states the name of the song.
Come on, bahut easy hai. Try it.
Rip the mic until the tune decays.
That leads into the next song, Love Is the Reason.
Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you asked me about that one. I think with, you know how we were talking about RJD2, the horror earlier,
mm-hmm.
how in my mind I was basing the song around a song, but I purposely didn't listen to it because then I might copy it too closely. So I took the essence, Love Is the Reason. I haven't listened to the song in years, but that was, there's a Beatles song from Revolver called Tomorrow Never Knows, and it's got reverse drums and it's got seagulls, and it's so incredible. So my idea with that song, I want to make a trap version of this old psychedelic song with reversed guitars and sound effects, but I didn't go and listen to the Beatles song, and then now... that it's all done, I've gone and I've totally missed it and it sounds nothing like it, but I just remember it had reverse seagulls. And so one of the cool sounds in that thing is actually the mating call of a frog, and it's all of those reversed and put through effects, and then all the sounds in that, even some of the drums, oh, I guess the kick drum and the bass isn't reversed, but everything else has been reversed, so it sort of washes in rather than gets plucked in. So that was my take at trap music of today with the 808s and the drum choices, and then all the other sounds are frogs and an old psychedelic rock band called the Beacon Street Union. I took little guitar notes they've done and I reversed everything. That one's got the whole, the classic like Kanye thing where the lyrics I use, lover of the answer. Mm. That was actually like, the band's like a bunch of dudes and I pitched them right up so they sound like angelic little chipmunks.
So
the chipmunk soul is totally in there too.
It's a really expansive sound and it's sort of around this point of the album, I'm wondering why you're not making music for film or television. Because it sounds like something you'd be a dab hand at. Have you ever had an interest in doing that?
Oh, that would be a dream come true. I love, I just bumped the mic. I love film scores. In fact, I collect them on vinyl. And my favourite one in recent years was this one, The Girl with All the Gift. It's that zombie movie, zombie movie. It's incredible. I love the Annihilation soundtrack, like what Jeff Barlow's done. Yeah, that would be a dream. I've actually done a little bit of score work, but just not for proper releases. There's a place, a brilliant place down here called the Film Archive, and they put together this annual thing where you play a live score to movies they've got. So I've done that like maybe 4 or 5 times, but yeah, doing scores would be a dream.
I noted down a couple more songs I wanted to ask you about. 16-bit Tempest was one of them.
Oh, so that's another, that So if I was to group them all and type Ghouls and Ghosts, 16-Bit Tempest, Digital Peanut, they're all like a nod to video games. So
Emerald
there is
Hill?
An old video game called Tempest. There's a vinyl record I've got, and it's pretty so boring to listen to, but it's good for sampling. It's called Conquer the Video Game Craze, and it's like a video game nerd just talking through how to beat games. Like, it's got all these old 80s games, like Pac-Man, like, yep, pick up all the dots, avoid the ghosts, then eat the cherry, find your way to the exit. He's telling you strategies. And so the Tempest song is, I call it, so Tempest, all the video game nerds out there will know that was actually a 4-bit video game. But I, since I use much brighter songs, I sort of upgraded the bit rate. And I didn't actually overuse them. I should have used it more, but the all the sort of stuff in there, like use the pulsar ray to destroy the this. It's all from an instructional how to conquer the video game Tempest. So yeah, so that's another video game inspired track.
Tempest. In this game, the object is for you to kill everything coming at you on the screen and to avoid being killed. The control panel has a fire button. You should tap on it rapidly to fire your shots one at a time. The Super Zapper is capable of getting it.
The very last one I noted down was Slow Dough, but I didn't put any notes about why I wrote it down. But it's, I think, the second to last track on the record, Slow Dough.
Yeah, so I wanted, you know how there's different ways you can arrange drums, different feels to music, like, and have it being really driving. My goal with that one was to have a really slow loping feel, like a camel moving, you know, like one step, you're like, you're riding a camel and you're feeling like boom, boom.
Yes.
So all the snare drums have been slightly decayed. It's just all a bit wrong in the way it's put together. And then that one actually has me playing near the end. I fade it out, but it's me playing a shitty old organ.
Nice.
And then I made the drums really slow in the bass, and then I just did organ chords over the top.
Yeah.
There's no like real meaning behind that. It was just wanting to encapsulate a feel, like a slow head nod feel.
For real dope.
I wanted to ask you about the cover art on the record. Is that something you made? It's a collage?
Yeah, that's a collage of just heaps and heaps of stuff, and some stuff I've, well, you know, the circles and the lines on there I've drawn in Photoshop. But yeah, because I kind of put my music together sample based, I always like to do a cover that's sample based. So like the eyes on there, there's these black and white eyes that fade off to one side. I photograph them from a cover of a record I want. The eyes are from Edon. Have you ever heard Edon, Beauty and the Beat?
One of my favorite records, yes.
Okay, so I can't remember if that's from the album cover or whether it's from one of the singles, Fumbling Over the Words I Rhyme or something. So that's from that. And so every little thing on there is from a different, like the castle is actually from, I think it was either Van Morrison or, gosh, I should actually release photos of all the covers. But yeah, there's about 50 covers have gone in there.
I love it. And I love that it's such a good visual representation of your collage of sound as well. And it's just a beautiful piece of artwork.
Yeah, thank you. That's one of my favorite bits I've done. I've done heaps of collage, but some of them feel all like old and weathered. That's the first one that makes me smile, that the choice of colors, it's like happy. I find it really hard to... Hey, I know I'm getting long-winded, but that was another thing on the manifesto I wrote. Try and make happy music. Everything I've done, some of the stuff at least, has been like serious and dark. And some of my art has been like dark and like inspired by brutalist architectures with the all-seeing hand stuff.
Right.
And so I wanted to be colorful with this album.
That was Wellington's Alphabet Head speaking about his new record, Leisure World. If you want to listen to the whole album, head over to Bandcamp. That would be the best place for you to dig in. Also, there's some awesome long sleeve t-shirts that he's put out with the cover art on them. You can pick up from there. I did ask what he's up to next. He's hopefully going to be touring off the back of that album very soon, and he's already cooking up new tracks for another album on the way, so stay tuned for that.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.